This is the BBC.
From high atop iBBC studios in Washington, D.C., it's Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown!
This is the U.S. Election Breakdown. Lines are open at 555-0101, and we want to hear from you. 6 days until the election. 6 days, and according to the latest polls, Hillary and Trump are this close. They are turkey neck to turkey neck. That's, of course, what the polls are saying. Bookmakers, on the other hand, are saying that Trump has a 1 in 6 chance of winning. 1 in 6. So if you're having trouble computing those odds, sit down at a table and play Russian roulette. Hillary seems to be so convinced of winning that she's already chosen her inauguration outfit for January. It's going to be a cream-colored Chanel pantsuit. Immediately after that, she might have to change into an orange jumpsuit. Well, this is the world we live in, folks. We live in a world where a guy named Anthony Weiner can take a picture of his fundament and undermine democracy. It's that simple to do. Phones are ruining everything. They're rewriting history. If they repainted the Last Supper, three of the apostles would be on phones. They'd be texting under the table. Jesus would be on TripAdvisor. Trying to find a better restaurant. One that didn't make 12 men sit on the same side of the table. Jeez, fellas, what are we at, Wagamama? What's going on here? It's the way it is, people. It's the way of the world. I am joined, as always, by my producer and intern, Nick Duty. How are you?
I'm angry, Rich.
What are you angry about?
I'm angry at undecided voters, right? If you're out there and you're calling yourself an undecided voter, I will track you down and hold you in a puddle until you go limp, like you're a dog and I'm Michael Heseltine.
Wow, these people seem to know who Michael Heseltine is. Very informed Washington, D.C. crowd. Who is undecided? Who's sitting there going, gee, I really can't make up my mind. I need to know more about these two characters.
Lots of people go, oh, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, then you'll get the more evil of two evils. It's not a tough choice, right? This is the choice between crinkle-cut chips and having a house brick forced into your mouth by a man with no eyes. It's a British metaphor. It's a
555-0101 line 2. Bobby in Rappahannock, Virginia. You're on the air, Bobby.
Sweet. Yeah, you guys are talking about what Trump needs to do to win this election.
Yeah.
Needs to grow a beard.
A beard.
Yep. Historically, every bearded candidate who runs against a non-bearded candidate's won. Goes all the way back to Lincoln. He's running against Stephen Douglas. Both of them started out beard-free. An 11-year-old girl writes Lincoln a letter saying, hey, buddy, your face is way too long. You need to grow a beard. He grows a beard, and that's why there's no more slaves.
That's extraordinary.
Well, I'm a bit of an amateur historian, so I know what I'm talking about. This goes right down the line. 1868, Ulysses Grant, beard, runs against Horatio Seymour, no beard. Grant wins. 1876, Rutherford B. Hayes, beard, runs against Samuel Tilden, no beard. You ever heard of President Samuel Tilden? No, you haven't. Me neither.
So what you're saying is that if Trump grows a beard, he can win. What's that going to look like? The top of his head is already a disaster. It's like he decapitated some Barbie dolls and glued them to his chin.
Look, nobody says he has to look sartorial. He needs to grow something, though, fast.
Well, that's a scoop, folks. Trump grows a beard and he wins.
Unless, of course, Hillary grows a mustache or at least stop bleaching the one she's got. Then a whole new ball game. In every race between a mustache and a beard, the mustache won. Teddy Roosevelt, William Taft.
Wait, how does a mustache beat a beard?
Well,
beard.
Sometimes in politics, Richard, less is more.
So a beard beats a hairless face, but a mustache beats a beard. What beats a mustache?
Man, I knew you were going to ask that. I'm sitting on this one. Pork chop sideburns.
Pork chop sideburns.
Yes, Martin Van Buren, 1837. They had three candidates running against him, and he whipped them all.
Okay, so pork chops beats a mustache, but what if Hillary grew pork chops, Trump grew a mustache and a goatee?
Wow, man, what are you saying? You're outside the box now. I don't know, man. Hey,
Well, thanks, Bob. It's always good to talk to someone armed with facts and not just opinions.
My pleasure.
All right. It's 5 after the hour, folks. Let's go to news and sports with Wanda Pate, high atop the IBBC studios in Washington, D.C. Wanda.
Thanks, Rich. It's 63 degrees and sunny in Metro D.C. These are the breaking stories. Since 1988, when Ronald Reagan wrote a letter to the incoming President Bush, by tradition, the outgoing president writes a short letter to his successor. This week, IBBC News have come into possession of notes dictated by Barack Obama for the first drafts of his letter to a potential President Trump.
Dear the Donald, firstly, may I extend my congratulations as an outgoing president, as an American, and as a fellow person of color. This past 8 years has been tough. They said I was a lame duck, but I was able to get some things done. Yes, Guantanamo is still open, but I have reduced the opening hours and entirely shut the gift shop. And for that reason, I think I have the skills to be your next apprentice. Yours, Barack Obama.
And also to a potential President Clinton.
Dear Hillary, I was going to email you this, but then I thought it better not. There's no easy way to say this, but I voted for Trump.
This week, it was reported that there is evidence that the Kremlin have launched an operation to turn Trump into a Russian asset. It's claimed that Russian intelligence had compromised Trump during his visits to Moscow and could now blackmail him. Trump responded in a press conference this morning.
Compromised? Me? Let me tell you something, folks. You know, me and Russia, it's great. It's great. We have the greatest relationship. It's the best. But I don't even know Vladimir Putin. I never even met the guy. Unless it was him in that Moscow hotel room in that dress holding the video camera. You know, that would explain a lot. Anyway, seriously, he was no more than a 7.
Sports now. And over in the English Premier Soccer League, a West Ham fan has found a rare coin embedded in his head. The coin is a rare mint-condition George IV penny that has been valued by auction house Sotheby's at over $10,000. Speaking to us this morning from the Royal London Hospital, Mr. King told us that this isn't the first coin he's been hit by.
I've pulled a good number of coins out of my head over the years. You know? I mean, if I'm being honest, I remember back in the 1980 FA Cup final, right? I was hit at point blank range by a Queen Anne farthing. Boss, good to know that even with lots of big money coming into the game from overseas. You know? Some of the fans have still got a bit of dignity to hurl a heritage coin with a nice bit of quality on it. Lovely stuff, makes me quiet.
Now back to Rich Hall's US election breakdown.
555-0101 is the line, folks. We got Fred Suss from Big Timber, Montana on the line. Fred claims that he's voted twice already. Hi, Fred.
Yeah?
That's illegal, Fred. It's a federal crime.
Don't care. Let me explain something to you. You got light votes and you got heavy votes. California's got 55 electoral votes. My state's just got 3. Each California electoral vote represents 667,000 people. A Montana electoral vote only represents 333,000 people, so I voted twice. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But...
Well, if ballots was toilet paper, Rich, California would be Andrix Quilt, and Montana would be Walmart Basic.
Still, Fred, it's illegal to vote twice.
You want to talk about what's legal? You think it's legal for the FBI to interfere in an election? Why is the FBI investigating a picture of that wiener fella's tallywhacker? The FBI is only supposed to investigate a crime if it crosses state lines. Now, if this fella was standing at the Montana state line and his tallywhacker crosses over into Wyoming, then yeah, that's a federal issue and the FBI should take notice of it. Now, if a man's tallywhacker stretches into the next state, we should all take notice of it. I'll go down in the morning and have a good old look at it and smile. The point is, Trump's getting a raw deal, so I'm voting for him twice.
They're going to put you in jail.
They gotta get by me first, me and a 50 caliber Desert Eagle badass Hebrew pistol, 3 cases of steel core ammo, and some Burdan primers from that Eastern Bloc nation that claims they don't make them anymore, but I know they do because I'm looking at them right now.
Listen, you watch yourself up there, okay?
You watch yourself.
That was Fred Suss in Big Timber, Montana, a state where it's legal to marry your gun. Nick, we got about a week to go. Is there anything you want to get off your chest?
I think we need to cover the biggest third-party candidates because it's going to be 4 more years before anyone mentions their names again. All right, first of all, we've got Gary Johnson. He's the Libertarian candidate, so he's in favour of legalising pot. And you can tell this whenever he talks, whether or not he's talking about pot. This is him answering the question, if you were president, what would you do about Aleppo? From MSNB News.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
In summary, a vote for Gary Johnson is something Gary Johnson might forget to do. Next up is the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein. Jill is a medical doctor who's vague on whether vaccines cause autism, which is like being a farmer who's vague about how much petrol to put in a sheep. She's also unclear on whether Wi-Fi is harmful to children, which is like being unclear on whether you should go back to a sheep once it's gone out. What else must I say about her? Oh, yeah, she's released 4 folk albums. Would you like to hear them?
No.
Correct, you would not.
Good call. So this is it. Clinton, Trump, and these 2 idiots.
Not exactly, no. There's 1,910 candidates having filed as of October 15th, 2016. But these are the only 4 within shout of a chance. Except for one. Nuts as it may sound, the third most likely candidate to become president after Trump and Clinton is Evan McMullin. And the reason is because he won't win any state except possibly Utah, which he could actually win.
Whoa, Utah.
Yeah. I thought Utah was fictional too. And this is insane, but possible. If he wins Utah and neither Clinton nor Trump manages to secure the 270 electoral votes that would clinch them the White House, the decision goes to the House of Representatives, and they could just give it to McMullin as the compromise candidate. It's a bit like the story of Solomon, if at the end Solomon had actually cut the baby in half and not given it to either woman, but just handed both halves to a bloke that no one's heard of.
Which in many ways there couldn't be a more fitting end to this election.
Yep. For a state that still lists sodomy as a crime, what Utah could be about to do to Donald Trump is quite poetic.
We'll be right back after this.
In just over a week, there could be a man sitting in the White House who thinks global warming is a hoax. A few years of his neglect and ice caps could melt. Sea levels will rise. Your house could be underwater. And then, where will you get your honey?
I'll tell you where. Edgar Jennings laminated bees. I'm Edgar Jennings, and I've been laminating bees in non-porous plastic by hand for 2 years. Nobody except me laminates bees, so don't bother looking. Am I good at it? No. Do they like it? No. Do they sting me? Yes. But are they waterproof? Yes, they are. Come on down to my warehive, and if you can find a wet bee, that bee is yours to take home. That's the Edgar Jennings promise. I make no promises about honey, not my department. Just medium quality lamination and mostly alive bees.
Edgar Jennings laminated bees.
I cannot feel my hands.
Five 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 oh 101 is the number, folks. We're joined by Lewis Black, live in New York. Lewis is a stand-up comedian. He spent a lot of time thinking about the contenders for this year's presidency and how we got to the point where the 2 least liked candidates in history are competing to be the most powerful people in the world. Hello, Lewis.
Hey.
How are you?
Gets better every day.
So, as a comedian, has this election been an easy one to write jokes about?
Does anybody really need another Donald Trump joke? I turned on CNN one morning, and CNN in America is a bit different. It's a great channel to watch because if you watch it 5 minutes a day, it gives you a good idea of what it's going to be like when you have a stroke. So I'm watching, and there in the background is Donald Trump. In the foreground, the microphone is Sarah Palin. And I'm looking at this image and thinking, how am I supposed to make this funnier?
Right.
How do you satirize what is already satiric?
Exactly. What else running for presidency bothers you?
The one who really disturbed me was Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
I felt after listening to him speak, I would listen to him if he wore aluminum foil on his head.
Aluminum.
He had his roommate from Princeton.
Yeah.
Actually, they asked him, do you think that Ted should run to be the president of the United States? What do you think? Will he be a good president? He said, blindfold me, bring me a phone book from anywhere in the United States, open it up, I'll point at the name, that person will be a better president. He ran for the presidency of the United States, and this is what he had to say about family planning. Last I checked, we don't have a rubber shortage in America. When I was in college, we had a machine in the bathroom, put 50 cents in, and voila. Anybody running for any office, anywhere in the world, I don't care who it is, they should never, ever be allowed to use the word voila. The only term you should be able to use that word is if you opened your prophylactic and it blew out and landed on your penis. Voila.
Voila. Lewis, how have we ended up with the two least popular and trusted candidates probably in history?
Well, this is how much we don't like them. There was a poll taken in the United States, which showed that 13% of Americans would rather have a meteor destroy the Earth than have either Hillary or Donald in the White House. Right. Hillary's problem is she never went away. You lose the presidency, you go away.
Yeah.
You go hide for 4 years. So when you come back, everybody goes, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
She never left.
Right.
She's been in our face for forever. That's right. What drives people nuts. She's the lady who's been in your carpool the last 10 years, and every morning you wake up and say, I can't believe I have to pick her up again. As for Donald Trump, if you vote for him, and I'm saying this as a friend, you're going to go to hell. And I know this because God told me.
All right, well, I have one last question. Let's look past the elections. What happens, regardless of who wins, what happens after the election?
You know, they elect a Congress that really is the largest outpatient clinic in the world. Whoever wins, they just go, no, we're not going to do that. No, Zika virus, we're not going to do that. We have no interest in anything. My hope is that the British understand that this is the point, election day. This is your opportunity. Invade us.
Yeah.
Nobody will notice.
Right.
We'll be so busy screaming at each other, you can just wander in.
Well, thank you very much, Lewis. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, Rich, I hope to see you soon. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Lewis Black, ladies and gentlemen. Five 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 oh one oh one is the number. All right, let's talk about celebrity endorsements. There's no question that when celebrities come out in favor of a candidate, it packs a lot of influence. Now, a guy named Brian Whitman, who is described as the chief scientist at Spotify, has compiled a list of artists who are most strongly correlated with the Democrats or the Republicans. So according to Whitman, and who are we to disagree with the scientific findings of an esteemed scientific organ like Spotify, the Democrats' favorite artist is Rihanna, not her real name, followed by Jay-Z, not his real name, Katy Perry, not her real name. Snoop Dogg, not his real name. Usher, Eminem. In other words, Democrats love artists who transcend genres and are running from their past. Now, Republicans. Here's the list in order of Republicans' favorite musicians. Kenny Chesney, George Strait, Reba McEntire, Tim McGraw, Jason Aldean, Blake Shelton, Shania Twain, Kelly Clarkson, Elvis Presley, and Pink Floyd. How did Floyd get in there? Wedged in between a bunch of waxy-shouldered cowboy hat-wearing rednecks is a band that never once wrote a song about driving down a dirt road throwing beer cans out the back of a truck. So, I don't know. Obviously, there's something in Pink Floyd's music that appeals to Republicans. My guess, it's the lyrics. We don't need no education. Because that is Trump's core base. And, of course, the wall. People love a good wall. So if Trump could just get what's left of Pink Floyd to come out and support him, he might have a chance. Joining us in the studio now is Dr. Brian Klass. Brian's an experienced campaign manager who helped seize control from the Republicans when he worked on Democratic Mark Dayton's successful run for Minnesota governor. Currently, he's a fellow at London School of Economics teaching comparative politics. Welcome, Brian. And he has a book coming out called The Despot's Accomplice, is about the history of rigged elections. What's the worst rigged election ever in the history of the world?
I would say that it was probably in Liberia, where the number of votes was 17 times the number of citizens.
Right. So are we anywhere close to the enormity of those rigged elections?
No, there are no rigged elections in America.
And they are not rigged now.
Well, at least not in the way that Donald Trump's saying. I mean, this whole thing about dead people voting is just not true.
Right.
One dead person voted in history, as far as I can tell, and it was a elderly woman who her husband died 2 days before the election and she mailed in his ballot.
Right.
So not exactly the most nefarious thing.
So what does he mean when he says that these elections are rigged?
He means he might not win. He means he might lose.
Yeah. There's no way. So what were the strategies that you would use if you were advising Hillary?
What I would tell her to do right now is I would say that she should come up with a plan to show that she's serious about transparency. So I would say that she should make clear that she would appoint a Republican lawyer to be the White House ethics counsel, and that that person should be really taking her to task and commit to being the most transparent administration in history.
Say this before the election.
Yeah, because this is the one problem she has, this crazy stuff about James Comey coming out with this letter that's sort of like, we have evidence, I don't tell you what it is, it might be bad, it might not, but go vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, nobody seems to understand if there's any weight to any of this. It just seems like we're opening an investigation. There's some emails. They're not even Hillary's. They're the husband of the woman that works for her. Do you have any speculation on how Hillary is even involved in this?
Well, it seems like she's not involved. But the thing that's crazy about this is, you know, spending the last week of this campaign worrying about these emails is like worrying about your iPhone's battery life while there's Samsungs exploding all around you.
Right.
Yeah. It's just not really comparable.
How is it that we live in a country where you can open up the paper and it says the polls are, they've shifted back now and they're neck and neck over something that's just clearly just speculation just because the FBI has opened an investigation? How can you have millions of people seemingly?
I mean, it's baffling to me, but it's one of these things where you sort of think, well, the equivalent on Trump's side would be like, we have a recording we've discovered from 2007. We won't tell you what it is. It might be groping. It might not.
Yeah.
And that would sway the election. I mean, this is the irresponsibility of it, right? The FBI director says something, and then people have this idea that, you know, Trump's continuing to paint her as Crooked Hillary repeatedly, and it plays into that narrative.
How would you advise Trump to win?
I wouldn't advise Trump, because I have ethics. But if I had to, I would probably say that, you know, maybe a little bit of contrition, maybe a little softer Trump, that might help.
James Comey, the director of the FBI, the guy who's thrown all this out there, is under a lot of criticism for what he's done, possibly more than even Hillary or Trump in the end. If Clinton gets in, is he gone after the first day? Can you fire the head of the FBI if you're president?
No, I mean, it's something that's supposed to be a nonpartisan role. So the idea would be that any sort of vindictiveness would be exactly what we're trying to avoid with Trump.
Right.
So I would hope that if she wins, that she doesn't actually fire him, but that the, you know, they investigate whether he violated what's called the Hatch Act.
So would the FBI investigate the FBI?
I think that the Senate probably would. Yeah.
And while the FBI is investigating the Senate because of emails.
Well, and Hillary.
This is just a Mobius strip of shit.
That's the best encapsulation of 2016 I've heard.
You want to tell us who you're going to vote for? Is that rude to ask?
I already voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you voted from over here. From Washington. Never mind. Oh, God. You know what I mean. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brian Klass. Good luck at the LBS in London. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Time for our breakdown. Breakdown. Go ahead. Give it to me. What are we breaking down today, Nick?
People who don't vote, Rich.
That's right. Here's the way I see it, folks. The only way that Trump can win is if enough people just go, to hell with the whole thing, and they just don't bother to vote. Then his supporters show up in droves. Here's the thing. If you're an American and you don't vote, you're an idiot. I know it's tough for a lot of Americans. It's very hard because, an American, you're having trouble comprehending the idea that you only have two choices of something. So it's like, wait a minute, you're telling me that there's a country I can stand in the candy aisle and get my choice of goobers and squirrel nuts, choco pustules, peanut blisters, Laffy Taffy, Sour Patch Kids, caramel oak blisters, Idaho spuds, bazooka gum, milk duds, goo goo clusters, or whoppers? But I only got two choices for president? What is this, Russia? I don't don't like either of them. It doesn't matter if you don't like them, folks. The train is leaving the station. It's called the Nothing Special, but it's still a train. Get on it. People say, well, I'm protesting by not voting. Well, you're not protesting, because in order to protest, you actually have to show up to protest. How hard is it to go down the street to your local school and tick a box? What did you do today? You spent 4 hours choosing a fantasy football team. They don't exist. Well, Rich, it's all rigged. Yes, it is rigged. It's rigged because it's a contest of two people with 240 million judges. And given that most Americans can't even negotiate the ribbon barrier at the airport, and yes, they are both liars, so choose the one who lies the least. It's like the old steak and lobster analogy that I did 2 weeks ago. Those are your choices, steak or lobster. The steak is 30% gristle and useless fat, and it's been sitting under a warming lamp for 30 years. And the lobster is huge, but 90% of it is just a big orange husk. And the claws are really tiny. But you've got to choose. One more call, 555-0101. Hello.
Hi, Reg. You heard it, driverless cars, right?
Yes, driverless cars.
Driverless cars. How about, get it, here it comes, leaderless governments.
Like a driverless president.
Yeah, that's correct. We don't need to follow anything. I think, Lord of the Rings had it right. We should follow a big flaming eyeball on a stick. Wherever that eyeball looks, we look that way. It looks towards peace, we'll look towards peace. It looks against war, we're looking towards war. And if you want to get rid of it, you gotta throw that ring into somewhere in Detroit. And then the big eyeball collapses and all the orcs or Mexicans go somewhere. And America is yet again great. I thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. This has been Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown. I want to thank Nick Doody, Louis Black, and everyone listening. Have yourselves a fantastic night. Good night. Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown starred me, Rich Hall. Also, Nick Doody, Louis McLeod, Deborah Stevenson, Mike Wilmot, and Louis Black. It was written by Rich Hall and Nick Doody with additional material from Ben Partridge, Grania McGuire, and Jenny LaVille. The producer was Joe Nunnery, and it was a BBC Studios production.